It's time for My Morning Mixtape on 95BFM.
Yes, it is. And up in the studio, we have Ruben from Milk. Milk have just released their new self-titled album. Here at BFM, we've been a big fans of everything that Ruben works on, so it's exciting to have him up to hear about some of the songs that have been influential on this release. How are you doing today, Ruben?
Kia ora. Good day.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, you've finally reached this point. It's been a long time coming for this album, but you're very happy to have it out now.
Yes.
For the world to hear.
I am. So it's such a relief.
Yeah, I bet. How long were you working on this album?
I started it at the end of 2016, pretty much. So, it's been like
It's been a solid two years working on it. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, that's a long time, and it really paid off. I love the album.
Thank you.
And it's nice to see that you've gotten like a few more people to jump on for the ride.
Yeah.
I was talking to Amelia about it as well. Is that on Issues you had a few people helping out, but on this one it seems like you really kind of just got a lot of your friends on board.
Totally. I think there was only like one feature on that one, and then only one feature on the one before that. And this time, I think there's like six other people who played on it and stuff. So
Nice. What pushed you to do that? Was it just you wanted your friends to be a part of it?
Yeah, I think like initially I was, I don't know. When I recorded the first two EPs in an album, it was kind of all around the same time, and just whatever I finished got released first. And so it was kind of just stuff I was experimenting with in my room a bit more, and now it's like a bit more of a band, and it's like, yeah, I don't know, I just like the buzz of writing something and getting just someone to play something who has a completely different way they approach music, and even if they're just playing the same notes as you, they'll do something
you know? Something different. Yeah, and I think lots of familiar names on there, and lots of really skilled musicians on there as well. Like, I saw that JY was contributing sax, and weirdly enough, it actually fits in really well with the guitars and the drones.
And all that kind of stuff.
I was surprised when I read all the credits. I was like, oh, that was a saxophone there.
For sure. I think actually, funnily enough, the one of the songs later that I've picked is kind of something that inspired that a little bit. Just the way a baritone sax can really like drone out and be like extra bass.
It's not, well, from my experience, it's not like what you would expect a saxophone to be associated with that genre kind of.
Yeah, no, totally. I think it's like comes from like that and kind of like John Zorn, just like this using the saxophone as sort of just like a kind of more textural thing than like a melodic instrument.
Yeah, because it was kind of drowned out a bit for.
Yeah, totally, notes. Totally.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Sure.
And so the transition that you've kind of made from the last record onto this record, you've gotten a little bit darker.
Yeah.
The album is a lot longer, I noticed. Did you notice anything different from the last record to this one? Did you spend like significantly more time on it trying to focus on it?
Well, it started off as one kind of thing. It started off a lot more upbeat, and then just like I just started writing heavier and heavier songs, and then stuff in my life started getting real heavy, so it kind of made sense. And then so like maybe like a year ago I had a lot of songs, and then I kind of, the ones that were more finished and the ones I liked the most seemed to be a lot heavier, and the ones that weren't really finished were kind of a bit more spacey and instrumental kind of buzz.
And you threw it all together.
Yeah. And there was a lot of songs that didn't make it that I still like, that I'm kind of putting together like an EP of another sort of instrumental long EP of just kind of stuff that didn't quite make the cut.
Stuff that you were working on, but.
Yeah. It doesn't really fit with the album. That'll probably be out in the middle of the year, hopefully.
Nice. Yeah, that'll be. It's always interesting to hear what other stuff people have been working on in that kind of time. Especially fans of the album will be
I
want to hear what that outtakes, for lack of a bit of a word.
Yeah, no, I love that as well. It's like something, because you know sometimes there can be a song that is an outtake that you like better than anything like in an artist's work, but you know. I understand why it wouldn't make it on an album if it doesn't fit and whatever.
Stylistic, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So you've chosen out a few songs. Which one did you want to play for? We'll play the broadcast one first.
Yeah.
What made you pick this one out?
So the initial buzz for the album was kind of something along the lines of Broadcast Stereo Lab, kind of a bit more like upbeat, kind of library music influence kind of buzz. I just really love the production on this whole album and how there's like a lot of electronic and I guess organic textures that really like fit together really well. And you know, this song especially has got this kind of creepy, menacing vibe to it, but it's like all the instrumentation's really soft. I don't know, it's just like this song is something that I've been trying to like, the vibe of this is something that I've been trying to like achieve for a long time.
Cool, well let's give it a listen.
Sure.
Say they
So we went straight into that spiritualized track. How did you pick that one out? I mean, it's a little bit of a transition from the broadcast one.
Yeah, but I think they sort of sit in the same
sort of sphere.
Yeah, exactly. Sort of like, I guess, 60s influenced stuff that's kind of like quite heavy on the instrumentation. That one, like, that was the one I was talking about with the sax where it really influenced me. Like halfway through the sort of noise chorus, I guess, like, there's just this baritone sax line that comes in and kind of like follows the bass line and just kind of accents it. And like that, yeah, ever since I first heard that album, it's been something that I really wanted to try and pull. I mean, I don't think I really have quite yet, but
they're
like,
very talented people.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And like, you know, the album, the instrumentation is just so thick on that album. It's insane. Like there's so much going on that I felt like that song was just a real good, middle point, I guess. You know, it has like the really soft lush bits and then the really freak out noise bits, so Yeah.
Yeah, they do it really well, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Not everyone can pull off the, like, the transition, especially in, like, one song, which, like, that was a good example of
it's so extreme,
one where it starts off quite nice,
like,
and then it gets...
Yeah. But I think, like, his stuff with Spaceman 3, I think it kind of makes sense that he would eventually get to something like that, you know, where it's, like, very big and grand, but all about the use of space, I guess.
Mm. And this third one, this is where it gets a little bit kind of heavier.
Yeah, yeah.
and you start to hear, I noticed more when I heard this Earth track, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, that's starting to get along the same kind of vibe as what I noticed from the Milk record.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think Earth, Dylan Carlson is like a very big guitar hero of mine. All of the Earth albums, really. I mean, mostly the sort of second period, you know, that when he came back and kind of started doing more like Western kind of sounding, like country almost, just these really clean versions of this, what he was doing before. But, I think the song's quite good because it's like, it's at that point when he was still making really sludgy stuff, but it's like a 2 minute little, like, really
it's much
melodic.
Shorter than a lot of their songs, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Mm. Cool. Let's give this one a listen. We'll go right into the Duster track after that. And we can talk about that one afterwards.
Main.
We'll be right back.
Whew, so that's all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us about that Duster track.
That was the first Duster song I heard, like, quite a few years ago. A friend of mine told me to check them out, and I was just like, there's only a few songs on YouTube at the time, and this one was only like a vinyl rip that someone had put up, so it was even more dusty, mind the pun. But you know, it was way more hissy and like crackly, and it was just like this. I don't know, especially at the time, it was like lo-fi tape recording had just started to become like a cool thing again, and so I was just like, whoa, this is like so on brand for 2013 or whenever it came out, you know.
Yeah, because that track was a harder one to track down out of the ones that you've chosen.
I think this is like their first EP maybe, but it's just, they're just such a good band. All of their albums are really good. They're just like, they nail the home recording buzz without it being leaning on, I don't know, it works perfectly with the lo-fi stuff, the way they write their songs. It doesn't like lean on it being super fuzzy, and it, you know, doesn't need to be hi-fi because that would sound weird as well. It's just, it just sits perfectly, and like especially that song has just got this really like kind of ghostly, very like emotive buzz to it.
It's very nice. It's a track that I hadn't heard from them before, so I was excited to hear that. Sure, one. Maybe I'll go to do some more digging.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. Like in my iTunes, I've got 60 songs, and that's not even, you know, because there's two or three EPs and two albums, and then it's like all of these things, and it's just like untitled one through, I think 84 is the latest one that I have in terms of that. And it's just like all of these random songs. There's one called Christmas Dust, which is really good.
Ah, cool. Well, maybe I'll get those off you.
Yeah, straight up.
And you've got a show this weekend, yes. With Milk, album release show, all ages at Greyland Library Hall.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah.
Who else is playing at that one?
Cindy Being and Ari and the Jansons.
Cool. Yeah. That's a good lineup. Big fans of all of those.
Oh, same. That's why I picked them. I'm really stoked. I'm looking forward to it.
And what made you lean towards doing the all ages side rather than going for an Ari 10 show?
I don't know. I think mostly just came from wanting to play in a different space, you know, like no shade to them, but I just play at Whammy or Wine Cellar like every time I play a show. Yeah. It's like, it's just, I was keen to play in a different space because
keep it fresh.
Yeah. And so like the all ages buzz is good and it's a bit more relaxed.
And super inclusive.
Yeah, exactly. It means, you know, anyone can come to the show if they want to. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, congrats on the album.
Sure.
Thanks for coming up. It's been great. We're going to play one of your songs now. One of our favorites as of late. Rotate track Sugar Glider.
Ooh.
Which is one of the singles. But
go check the video out on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
that was My Morning Mixtape on 95 BFM.